ask them to leave the room, because if I do it in front of them, they'd hold it against them if there's weakness in their life. They'd actually feel like they won and the other spouse lost in the meeting. And then I pull the other spouse in and I hold them accountable and speak to them as an individual. And then I bring them both back together and paint what relationship's called to look like. You'd be amazed what that accomplishes. You'd be amazed how many tears I've watched pour out of people. How I've watched people unite and hug and cry and make up because they took account for their own life and got their eyes off the other. Because I promise you, in a relationship, if it becomes he said, she said, we're trapped in the world. If it's tit for tat, we're going to go nowhere. Come on, if it was tit for tat with God, we are way on the low end. Did you know that some of them talk shows on the earth today, the talk shows are just the most grossest, baddest, saddest scenes of life. And then they get them up there and get them to hash it out, scream and fight. And then they have the audience decide villain, victim. Come on, if it was God up there on the platform and the people, and God sat there and cried and justified and defended himself, we would be so guilty and look so wicked. But God's not in that place. So don't you be in that place. So that's how I handle that stuff. When I hear somebody holding on to rights and accusing their spouse of not and saying they're not where they should be and could be because of their spouse, I ask that person to leave the room that they're talking about. And then I set that thing straight with them. If they don't want to hear it, I strongly correct them as a pastor. Wonder if they get up and walk out of the room mad. Did I fail in counsel? Nope, I've held them strongly accountable. And they're getting up out of the room to leave. I'll say, listen, honey, or listen, sir. You're being very deceitful right now. You're standing for your own rights. Well, you're right, I am. You're not even listening to me. You don't even care what she's done. She's done. Stop it, sir. I had a man do that for 2 years. He hated me. 2 years he hated me. He said he got so mad when he heard my name. Left the church and hated me. His wife, he left her. Moved in with the lady. That's sure helping. Do you see where he's at? He's not even regarding God. He doesn't even want truth. He's just hurt. And he has the right to be in his mind. So the fruit of his life, now he moves in with a lady to lick his wounds. He reduces her to his band-aid. And probably tells her he loves her. And she's vulnerable and weak and buys in and gives herself to him. Is it all right if I'm truthful? We call it love. You get on an internet because you have unresolve in your marriage. You get on an internet because you're not getting what you think you need. And somebody says what you haven't heard from the one that's supposed to love you. And now you think love's here. And you're caught in a self-driven, self-centered delusion and you're snared. Because it can't even be love. Because if you were seeing clear and walking in love, there wouldn't even be anything attractive here. Come on. I don't know how I got on all this stuff. Are we okay? Okay. Man, it is good. I live this way. Listen, you don't have to believe me. I could go home from this trip and find my wife with a man. And I would weep for her bitterly. For her soul, because there's something so wrong if she's in that position. I wouldn't cry one tear for me. Because how has her sleeping with some man changed who I am in Christ? What has changed about my salvation, my redemption, my victory through the cross? So my wife sleeps with a man. How has that changed my life in Christ? See, we're not used to that in the church. I can feel that you can't even hardly hear that, some of you. Because it's villain victim, and that's supposed to break us and shatter us, and now we're a product of their sin. And now you carry that mark, and now you're, are you kidding me? Why is it so easy to cry for ourselves and not for others? Do you think Jesus would walk in the room and go, what? I can't believe you're doing this to me. After all the revelation I've given you and after all the times I've touched you. Can you even imagine that? See how silly it sounds in Jesus' mouth? It ought to sound just as silly in yours. He's in you. They bring a woman committing adultery. She's caught in the act. I know we always say, and preachers say, I wonder where the guy was. Why didn't they bring the guy? It's just that thing. But they brought the woman. What do you say, teacher? The law says we should stone her. He says, you who have committed no sin, go ahead, stone her. From the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones. That's significant. That means something. They just dropped their stones. Look, he didn't just disqualify them. He qualified himself. He was sinless. He was perfect and pure. Under the law, he could have picked up a stone and killed her and been totally justified. He was pure. He was righteous. He knew no sin. He was completely righteous. He didn't just take the stone out of their hand. He put it in his. He could have killed her. But he didn't pick up a stone. Listen. He who has no sin, cast the first stone. There was no one there who had no sin. So they couldn't cast the stone, so they dropped him. Who had no sin? Who didn't cast the first stone? Huh. So he didn't see her as an adulteress. He saw her for her potential. And he knew that the goodness of God leads to repentance. He didn't say, woman, you need to knock it off. And if I ever find you in this place again, there's severe judgment coming upon you. You need to change. You're wicked. These ways are wicked. You need to repent and get right. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? She looked around and said, there are none, Lord. He said, I accuse you neither. What's he saying? I will never see you as an adulteress. So go and never be one again. Do you see what empowered her to not be one again? I will never see you as one. You're more than that, honey. Go and sin no more. Whew. That sure beats busting her over the head with a rock. Doesn't it? Wow. Does that enable her? Or does that set her free? So who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let them just show who is by their life. Now watch verse 14. But, man, this is heavy, okay? Open your hearts to this. But if you have any bitter envy or any self-seeking, if you have self-seeking in your heart, your Bible might say selfish ambition. That marriage counseling thing I made an example of, and Pastor Jim had fun, said, help me, tell me, what do you do? Because it's so common. But if we really got the scripture, it would never be another one again. Maybe for new believers, until they understood. Are you guys getting this? Come on, if we really heeded the word, we got every answer right here. And you're the steward of your heart. And you can't let the closest people to your life define who you are and how you're walking out the word. You let Jesus do that. So no one becomes your excuse. And then you're a blessing to the world around you. And no one has... That way, you're stronger than the weakness around you. You're as strong as the one in you. It's a shame if we're only as strong as the weakness around us if he's in us. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Guess what he's saying? Get real and address your heart. Stop blaming your neighbor. Stop pointing the finger. Man, if you have this stuff in your heart, if you see selfish ambition trying to drive you at times, get a grip and say, whoa, God, you didn't create me for this. This is so not who I am and desire to be. My life is for you and for your glory. God, I renounce that and put that aside and thank you for the way you're fashioning me and making me more and more like. Don't boast and lie against the truth. Don't live in selfish ambition and act like one thing and be another. That's what it's saying. Saying, who is wise and understanding among you? So selfish ambition means that even in your marriage, you need to be right. And if you don't get your way, you have issues. Come on. So what happens if two people are like that in a marriage? Wow. You follow me? Come on. Your Bible, not my sermon. Your Bible says selfishness is living a lie. And it's not wisdom and it's not understanding. I'm not correcting you, I'm protecting you. Do you understand? If you have bitter envy and selfish seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. Watch this. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, full of feelings, and demonic.
Wow.
Selfish living came through the fall of man, when man became a God unto himself. We were all born into Adam, and we must be born again. When we're born again, we put off the old and put on the new. We die in the likeness of the death of Jesus, who died to sin, self-seeking living, sin once and for all, so that we can what? Live in the newness of life. Did you get it? That's why we get water baptized, guys. We forgot about water baptism in a lot of areas of the church. We just pray the prayer to go to heaven and nobody even talks about water baptism. Why? Because it's all about going to heaven. It's not about transformation. The reason we water baptize, it's a sign of transformation. You're going in the grave like Jesus went in the grave and you're dying to what he died to. You're no longer a sinner. You're dying to every sin ever committed and committed against you. And when you come out of the water, you're rebirthed by God. The water breaks. The womb of God's water breaks. And a baby comes forth. And Holy Spirit midwife scoops you up and presents you to Papa, brand new baby boy. So you get in the water. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and seeing a higher potential in my life than what I've lived. I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things that I know now were fruitless and weren't my destiny and your desire. And God, thank you for forgiving me and loving me and washing me in your blood, King Jesus. When I go under this water, I thank you. There's a death to all these things and my life is completely yours. You and me and I and you. Together we are one. You hold them under till every bubble stops. You get two big elders to push on their chest. And then you bring them up. And there's new life. That's the way I do it. Because I have faith. I ain't gonna let you play church. You're gonna die. They say, I don't think they're for real. I don't think they're sincere. We're gonna find out. Anybody ready to get baptized? I know we're having fun with that, but you know the honest truth? God is so good that Jesus had to die, suffer the pain, hang open and naked in front of humanity on that cross, be put in a tomb and raised after days and face death. And all we do is be sincere and in faith go under for 2 seconds, come up and receive everything he accomplished. Now you tell me God isn't amazing. Jesus actually walked through everything necessary. The pain, the blood, the beating, the death. And all we do in sincerity and truth is say, whoa, my life isn't my own. What was I thinking? Man, I was deceived. I was living for me. Man, I'm to live for your image. Take my life, God. I call it all dead so he can become red. Bring you right back up and you step into everything he paid for. I'm sorry, it's 9. I'm trying to finish. I'm going to close with this. No, I am. That wasn't a joke, man. Man. I'm making it as a comedian. All I got to say is I'm wrapping it up. And everybody, man. Oh, man. I didn't know I could be so funny. People say, you're hilarious, dude. You said you were quitting. I'm like, what's so funny? Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me, man. You know, take the shepherd hook and pull me off soon. Okay, look. Oh, I'm making myself thirsty. Keith, you're rubbing off on me. This wisdom, the envy and the self-seeking, selfish ambition, it never came from God. That means everything Jesus is asking you to give back is what you never were in the first place. Why is it so hard to give up what you never were? Why do we covet what we were never created to be? People say, well, God made us this way. No, we became this way. You see, well, God gave us reasoning and logic and intellect. He never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of him. That came through the fall. Seminaries teach about reason and rationale and don't let anybody talk and you have the God-given ability to reason. That's been so perverted and tainted in the fall. God made man and all man knew was the voice of God and all man knew was God. Until another voice spoke, he knew nothing but God. When they followed that other voice and got deceived and Adam followed his wife instead of God, we've been subservient to that voice ever since and we've been hearing it ever since and we've been following that human logic and sometimes we bring it into our Christian living. Come on. We do, guys. He says, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely... Period. Is that what he said? What's the devil say? Are you really going to die? Oh, you're not going to die. God just knows the day you eat the tree, your eyes will be enlightened. You'll be like God. You'll know the night's going to be. You'll be just like God. Woo, wow. Listen to today, modern, New Testament truth. These signs shall follow those who they will lay their hands on the and the sick. Oh, well, yeah, but not everybody's going to be healed. I mean, not everybody. I mean, we don't, timing or will. It's the same voice. We've just allowed our experiences to give that voice precedence and power. But God still says, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover, period. It's the same as the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die, period. And then another voice creeps in, hinged on human experience. Yeah, but you prayed for your mom and she died. Yeah, but you know, and all of a sudden, the gospel's challenged by our lives. Whether there was fear there, whether there was whatever there. All of a sudden, just because we pray, we've reduced it to a principle, a method, a promise, and all of a sudden it's not fulfilled. Now we question and say, well, God couldn't have meant what he said because they didn't get healed. And all of a sudden, when we hear the scripture, we go, yeah, but not everybody's healed. And there's a period after the promise. I bet it's true. I bet there's a place to walk in that. I bet there's a place to believe it and get rid of that tube. It's a place to breathe again. It's a place for lungs to be brand new. And I don't care if you prayed for 100 times and it didn't happen. That book still says the same thing. So rather than change the book, let's grow up into it. See, it's presumption to change the book. That's making your knowledge above what's written. See, the book's already written. We're not trying to find God along the way. He's already revealed through Christ. I'm on a whole nother topic. I better be careful. I'm trying to land and now I just took off again. The wisdom does not come from above that's selfish and self-centered. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. That means it came through the wisdom of this age. It came through the fall of man. You were born into it, but now you're born again. So you don't conform yourself to the world. You're transformed by... Wow. See how clear that is? You put off the old man and get renewed in the spirit of your... Ephesians 4. Watch this. Now watch. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing is present. We pray for God to change things, and the things we're praying for Him to change, we're fueling while we're praying for it to change. You're praying just because you're hurt. You're praying for your spouse because you know if God touches your spouse, your problem's over. And you're reacting to your spouse and you're not as open as you used to be and you're a little withdrawn and you're making sure they know you're hurt. And the whole time you're praying, you say, well, I'm really praying for my spouse. No, you're fueling a fire that you're praying to go out. It takes two to have strife. It takes two to have this thing happen. Are you following me? Do you know that in Corinthians it says that a believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse? Do you understand that belief dominates, that love rules? People say, well, I just know my spouse is bringing all this stuff into the home. Are you kidding me? You are in such authority. It says the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. At least the children would be unclean. Don't say things are happening to your children because of what your spouse is doing. Cover your spouse in love and faith and cover your children in that same place. Hello? Or all of a sudden it's just everybody's fault and you're being denied the authority and the power of everything you've become through Christ. And now you just attend church, but you're forlorn. And you're just on prayer chains instead of being a mighty person of prayer. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. This stuff's happening all the time. I'm not being mean when I say this. We've been taught to be a ministry-crazed people. We always need a touch. We always need prayer. We always need encourage because our eyes have been tainted from the truth. You don't need as much prayer as you think. You need truth. It'll make you free. It doesn't say ministry shall make you free. It says truth will make you free. It's amazing how much we look for a touch, an impartation, an encounter, an experience. Truth will give you all those things. I'm just saying. You guys are looking at me funny now. I better wrap it up. This wisdom does not come from above. Where there's envy and self-seeking, confusion, that's the closest word you'll see to strife in the Bible. Confusion and every evil thing are present. You know what happens? We get in these things, our hearts get hurt, we fuel the fire, we don't even realize what's going on, and then religiously we say, and spiritually we say, I just don't know why God isn't intervening, why He's letting all this stuff keep happening, it just keeps getting worse, and the more I pray, and oh my God, I'm so angry, and if you would, this would say, this would be happening, if you would. And you fit right in that scripture. And God's going, stop. This is about the fifth time I said this, and it's on purpose, and I might say it again. It takes two to tango. I don't know why I keep saying that in this house. But it takes two. And you're just not going to get me to fight you. It's impossible. I'm the wrong person for you to do wrong to. Because I won't go to my bedroom and cry because of you. I will go and cry for you. And that wonderful Holy Spirit will come and get you in the middle of the night. For 13 years, my wife prayed for me to change. And I never changed. And her heart died. She grew cold. She renounced God, pumped her fist at Him, and walked into darkness. Because she had an excuse. Because she prayed for me for 13 years and God didn't change me. So what the blank? And she said, when I got saved, she got furious. She got mad at me and God. She thought it was a cruel joke. Because she walked into darkness. She had compromised her conscience. She had gave up on her marriage. And now I'm born again and totally zealous and alive for God. And she's over here in La La Land. So she just got furious. And she's really mad at God now. And for 7 weeks, she tried to break me and prove I was a hypocrite and a phony and a fake. You just can't prove that about me. I'm just going to love you. I'd be in my room praying. I'd come out of the room. She's standing there like this. You make me so sick. You live like the devil for 13 years. And now you think you're some holy man talking to God. I don't think so. And I could have said, well, Kim, you know, God changes people and He's merciful and kind. And unforgiveness is a really blinding thing. And you could be seeking God like this and see the truth and understand that I'm changed. And I could have been right in everything I said, but it wouldn't have made it right. I didn't have that voice in her life. I had been a terrible husband for 13 years. And I looked at her and I said, I'm really sorry. I can only imagine how you must feel. And I'm sorry about these things. I just walk away and she, boy, that isn't Dan. Boy, that isn't Dan. 7 weeks later, God comes in the bathroom. She's doing her hair to go out on the town. And He manifests in the bathroom. She goes, and freezes because the one she renounced is standing there. And He's not carrying a flaming sword. He said, Kim, why are you so angry with that man? Can't you see? And she said she went, and it was like somebody went. It was a veil of bitterness and unforgiveness and things I needed to pay back and owe that you can never make up for. He said, can't you see? And she, he said, that isn't even the man you're angry with. Kim, it's not even the man you married. I have made him a brand new man. And she collapsed on the floor in a fetal position and began to cry profusely. Because she realized the thing she was praying for 13 years, she was now fighting with everything she was worth because she was too hurt to want it. And as she's laying on the floor crying, Holy Spirit said, give. You prayed for 13 years and you bound my hands from answering your prayer. Because not one time did you pray for him because you loved him. Not one time did you pray for him because of mercy. You only prayed because you were another hurting wife, knowing that if I changed him, it would make your day go better. He said, I'm a God of love and I will never empower your motives to be there. And you have bound my hands for 13 years from answering your cry. She was a mess. I'm the one that should be sorry. I lived a wretch for 13 years and drained a good wife. It's true. I'm in the yard, work in the garden. She doesn't even talk to me unless she's going to be mean to me. She's running to me, bawling profusely. I look up, I hear the door bust open, and she's, I thought somebody died. I thought she got a phone call that somebody died. She's running to me, bawling out of control, and I hear her saying repetitively, as fast as she could speak, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm 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 sorry.
Be
Because see what the gospel does, it takes your eyes off the other. Because I've been wanting to say I'm sorry for 7 weeks, but I don't have the voice to. It's not time. I can't. It won't land. And she's the one that deserves the apology in man's eyes. And if we'd have sat on one of them talk shows, man, I'd have got stoned. And she'd have been sympathized with, and it would have changed nothing. But when the gospel came in, guess what she was? She was sorry. That's amazing. And I said, Kim, what are you doing? I started to cry. I just got touched. I was crying. She was crying so hard. I said, what do you say? You're sorry. She said, I'm so sorry. She said, I've been so angry. It's so bitter. I said, well, yeah. And I was going to explain why and justify her anger and bitterness and tell her I'm sorry. And she said, no, you don't understand. I prayed for you for 13 years, but it was never because of love. It was never because I felt bad for where you were living. And it was never mercy. She said, I only prayed for you because I was hurt. I was angry. My prayers were fueled by my own frustrations. It had nothing to do with love. And I was like, that's a revelation. She said, please forgive me. I'm like, I said, Kim, listen to me. I've been wanting to say I'm sorry for so long. Because I realized I've never been the husband. And I said, man, and I told her about work and how I knew I loved her and I felt like compassion for her. And oh my gosh, she was so good and I drained her and I saw her value and I told her all this. She's born and I'm born. And I said, can I just renew my wedding vow to you? I didn't even know what I was going to say. It's like when I preach. I just get up. And she said, huh? I said, I want to renew my wedding vow to you. Okay. Took her shoulders, tears all over our faces. It was so emotional. It was ridiculous. A psychologist would crucify me for what I'm going to tell you, I said. But that's all right. They crucified Jesus. I said, you owe me nothing in this marriage. I was 7 weeks saved. Listen to what came out of my spirit. You owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I will serve you in His unfailing love. She said, okay. And I didn't say, now what's your vow to me? I just held her. And I've lived that vow for 18 years. I didn't even have a wedding party to hold me to it, except that mighty Holy Ghost that was watching. And he was going, attaboy.
You get it?
So we're going to close with this. We are. It's not funny. Where there's self-seeking and confusion, there's every evil thing. Why would we make a landing strip for the devil? Why? Why hold on to your rights and why hold on to strife if the devil's going to land there? Be careful, intercessors, that you're not just doing spiritual warfare, coming against the powers of darkness and then moving and living in the attributes of darkness. Be very careful that you're not offended and frustrated with people as an intercessor, but you're in a room praying. Rather than speaking life and proclaiming, and I think you're probably taught more to just speak the word here, and I don't know Jim well enough, but I do know him well enough to believe that you probably speak life and intercede and pray. But there's a lot of intercessors that all they do is combat darkness in intercession and bind the powers of darkness, but think nothing of leaving that place, that chamber, and being bothered, offended, and moved by another brother or sister. So here you are coming against the powers of darkness and co-laboring with them in your life. And then there's laughter and mocking in the spirit because you have no authority in what you're doing. It's just, I'm just saying. Don't you make a landing strip for the devil in your home. You overcome evil with good. If something's going on in your home, you find the wisdom of God to cover it with love. Anybody can complain. Jesus lays down His life. Come on, I'm holding you to something powerful. Because if you guys will get this, it will spread and multiply and impregnate your society. And until it happens, The world just thinks we're people with a belief, not a life. And they're really not impressed with your church attendance if you look anything like them. I don't want them to just come for the music, as good as it is. I want them to come for the truth. Are you following me? So here's the punchline. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. Not, I can't believe you said that. Well, you really made me feel bad yesterday when you didn't talk back, when you didn't respond. Come on. Full of mercy. And good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know why that's there, right there? When you hold your spouse or your relationship, your friend, your brother, your sister to a position like I'm talking about and let their life affect you in a way outside of Christ, you're actually hammering them for something you've become. Mercy doesn't involve judgment, and judgment has no mercy. So where there's judgment, there's no mercy. He who shows no mercy, no mercy is received. You become the thing you're pointing to. So you're all upset judging them for this and this and this, but the animosity it's creating in you makes you the very thing you're pointing at. Do you see? It's a paradox. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who, blessed are the, for they are the sons of God. Do you see how clear and rock solid this is? So this is what he's calling us to, church. You know why I think I took all the time to cry that out? He believes it's possible, and he's calling it into your homes. And he's calling it into your personal lives. And he wants the celebration that you have here coming from a place of a celebration you have there. This is not an escape haven. This is not a place to refresh it. This is not a place to get boosted up. This is the place to express what you're being together corporately in synergism. This is the place to manifest what he's made you. This is not a place. Do you know where the Wednesday service came from a long time ago? The church got this idea that the world is tough and life is tough and we ought to have a midweek so we can make it to next Sunday. Serious. We need to gather in the midweek. Look, we'll just Monday, Tuesday, we'll get a good shot Wednesday and hope it rides to Sunday because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And all of a sudden we're Christian addicts pumping up to make it and get high enough to get there on Sunday. That's tragic. It's tragic. Listen, I don't do this a lot, but I feel like doing it right now in my heart. And then I'm going to turn you over to the pastor at some point, but I feel like, seriously, I feel like there's people sitting here. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm not talking about recommitting. I'm talking about you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never been born again. And in a house like this, it doesn't seem like maybe that would be, but it is. There's a handful of people here. You're just here somehow, some way, but you've never really took what I'm saying serious, and you've never denied yourself so that you could pick up your cross and follow him and ask him to come in and consume you and be your king. And right now sitting there, you know you have selfish ambition and agenda. And you know that if you don't change that, you're going to leave here and live for yourself at some level. And I'm asking you not to do that to yourself. I want to give you the opportunity to get born again. And what I mean by turning over the pastor, I know they have a baptism here and stuff, and I want you to get water baptized like as soon as possible, however that works. I don't know if it takes time to fill that thing or get it up or running. Right. So like as soon as possible. I mean, even if they take you to a hot tub or an indoor pool or out to a cold creek. I don't care, man. Let's just get you back. Wherever you can die, we'll just take you to die. But it's scriptural. In the book of Acts, they never got born again. Water baptism was right in the message because it wasn't about going to heaven. It was about transformation. But listen, you're hurting yourself if you're living for yourself and you can't fulfill love. You can't love the people around you if you're living for yourself. There's no love in selfishness. There's no selfishness in love. And if you're not born again, you can't love because God is love. And I just feel like there's about four people in here. Honestly, four people is what I hear in my heart that have never been born again and never been water baptized. You've never given your life to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a trip to heaven. I'm talking about giving yourself to Him. So if you'll be bold and humble, I'd like to celebrate with you and personally pray for you. I'd like you to be bold and just jump up and come down here. I need four of you. I know you're here. And I'm just asking you to do that. If you don't come, you don't come. I just know what I hear. I know when I hear it. So I'm giving you an opportunity. I need four people to get born again right now. Are you coming, sir? That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You've never been born again?
I've not been baptized.
Okay. Have you ever been saved?
Yes, I have.
Okay. But you've never been baptized. No. This message, do you feel like you've lived this message? Or you feel like you've lived this message? Okay, good. Well, then we'll get you baptized at some point. Are you a member here? Does he go here?
No?
Okay. Well, you can work that out with leadership where they can get you baptized, okay? Now listen, he said he's been born again. I'm asking for... So he's convicted. He just wants to surrender to this message. He wants to be baptized in this truth. That's where I can tell what's going on in your heart, right? Yes. So you have a good conscience in you right now that you're born again and that you're living truth. Yes. True? Yes. Okay, good. I want you to... Your leadership or something, you talk to them about water baptism as soon as possible, and they're going to take care of that. You guys will help me with that, right? Okay, you can jump back in your seat. Thanks. That's good. He's never been baptized. He's going to get baptized. If you've never been baptized, I'm just going to create something for Pastor Jim. You talk to your leadership and say, listen, after I'm talking to this, hearing this guy talk, man, I need to let you know I've never been baptized. Would you guys give me the honor of me just and witnessing me dying to live and giving away and all the old and get passed off and all that stuff? But I'm talking about four people. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. And somehow you got here and you're sitting here. I'm telling you, I know there's four. And I just feel like God's asking you to come forward and give your life to Him. So I don't do this. I do this rarely ever. But I feel it in this house tonight. It's strange in this house because I would just look around and think everything's cool. And maybe some of us just need to spruce up our walk sometimes. But I feel like there's four people not saved. I'm going to ask one more time. If you're here, I want you to run down here so I can hug you and pray with you and rejoice with you. And then this leadership will baptize you this week, okay? Will you come? It's my last call. Any person in this place, be bold and come. And have courage to come. Are you coming? You've never been saved, ever? Have you been born again? You feel like maybe you've going through the motions, but tonight your heart's convicted. You want to give yourself to what I'm saying. You're done messing around. You want to give your life to Jesus, don't you? Did you come to this church? So they know who you are? So they're going to baptize you, okay? You baptize her this week or something. Talk to her, sit with her, okay? You okay with what I'm doing here, Jim? Okay. Here's the deal. Were you up in the high places up there? So as I'm talking, your heart's pounding. And you're like, you're hearing what I'm saying. Your heart's pounding really, really hard. But you understand this whole living for yourself thing and picking up your cross and just dying to yourself and creating animosity and letting it hurt your heart and anger your heart. Because the days of anger need to end and frustration need to end. I want them to end tonight, okay? God doesn't want you walking with a chip on your shoulder. He wants you walking with light shining out of you. Okay? So officially, you're just going to give your life to Him tonight in front of a great congregation. We're going to be happy with you and rejoice, and it's a good thing, okay? So we're going to pray. I got one with the other three. I just know when I hear numbers. You stay right here. No, you stay right here. Don't you run away from me. I got one. Man, I know when I hear numbers. And I just know. It's not, you know, oh, Pastor, back off. You just might have missed it. I'm telling you, there's three here. I would love you to run and join her right now. It's for your sake. The reason I would rejoice in it is because I know it'll change your life. Okay? That's the only reason I'm compelling you. So I got three people that I need to come down here. Will anybody join me before I pray with her? Come on. She was bold. I want you to be bold. I'm giving 5 seconds. I'm going to get quiet. I want one more. Come on down here, and then I want the other two. Come on. You're here. In Jesus' name. Thanks for coming. What is your name? Brandy. We're going to pray for Brandy, okay, and with her. You guys happy for her? Okay. She said her heart was pounding out of her chest. And I saw emotion in her. It would have been easy to just come down here and just really cry. But, okay, I'm going to say it like I hear it. You have no idea how things are going to change for you after this moment. You really have no idea. I believe what you did was very sincere. The best you understood, you walked down these steps and you said, man, I'm hearing what this man's saying. I want to give myself to this. I'm telling you, the grace that's coming upon your life and the way that he's just going to change things like that is almost ridiculous. Seriously. Because I see some things. I see some of the ways, and I'm not going to highlight your struggles, but I see some of the ways you've struggled and some of the pressures that have been here and some of the wrong things you've believed in what it was trying to do to you. And God's saying, no, it didn't work. And I'm telling you, he's going to make you the most tender, loving, forgiving, discerning person. It's going to be ridiculous. You mark my words. I'm telling you, God is changing things for you tonight, okay? So give me your hand here. Now, what's your name again?
Brandy.
If you want to join her while I'm praying, you can still come. But if you don't come till I'm done praying with her, you're done forever. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, there's three people in here that need to come and join her. I'm not backing down. Brandy, I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you unashamedly in front of all these people. I want you to come into me and make me everything you created me to be. Thanks for forgiving me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for washing away every sin. I believe your love, and I believe my life is more than what I've lived. So show me truth and make me so one with you that you flow through me and shine through me all the days of my life. I'm yours. Come into me now and save me. And thanks for the freedom. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Stretch your hands to her. I'm going to lay hands on her and pray. It's all right. I'm just going to touch you lightly. I'm not going to hurt you. I promise. Brandy, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing in her. Thank you for the mighty transformation. Thank you for just taking everything off of her that's tried to constrict her and constrain her. I thank you, you have wiped away every lie. I thank you, God, that you have made her a safe place tonight in her soul and her heart. You have won her, and I believe you've encompassed her in that way. I don't believe, God, that the voices that have access anymore. I believe you've captured her. I believe you've enveloped her, and I believe you are manifesting your great name to her and through her in a mighty way, and it's a very speeded up thing, and I think people will marvel at Brandy's life and say, man, did she get touched and changed. God, I bless her, and I thank you. The grace I see is the grace that's on her, and I thank you all the fruit comes and remains. I bless you, young lady. I'm proud of you, and I'm excited for your destiny, and I bless you in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Come on. I'm so proud of you. Bless you, okay? Okay. Leadership, huh? Yeah, you can. You guys, do you know who she is? Do you guys, any of you?
Somebody else hug a new sister.
I want somebody, do you have a leader? Somebody that can just get her info. So you guys can, somebody can talk to her about baptism and get her baptized this week. That's all I'm asking. So however you want to work that out. So I don't need. Natalie? There she is. Just walk back to that lady and she's just going to instruct you. Seriously, did you hear what Pastor just said? If you've never been baptized and you're ready to surrender, what baptism is this. You're saying, I'm giving it all. I'm done, man. I am done. I'm laying down my life. I'm giving myself and I'm believing God's going to wash me of everything I've ever done. And when I come out of the water, there's a grace coming of what He accomplished. It's going to make me brand new. And it's a sign to people, a sign to God and to my own heart that I am giving my life to Jesus and I'm living for transformation. So if you've never been water baptized and you're ready, this church is willing to baptize you in understanding and in power. So run out there and see that young lady that just came to the doorway. If you've never been baptized, they will pull it off, man. They'll make it happen. Because I put them on the spot and they're going to make it happen. Hey, He invited me here. I just did this. Sorry, man. Okay? And the three people, if you just didn't respond, you know you didn't respond, but you're here. And I'm not being arrogant. You're here. And I'm asking you to go to this leadership, this sweet man. Don't you run. Why would you run? And maybe openly tell him, listen, he was talking to me. I need to get saved. So don't think it's too late. And don't think if you walked out of this room, you're damned. And don't let the devil say, well, you miss God now. This man that's from Hawaii over here, Keith, believed that for years. He believed he did so bad, he believed there was no hope for him, that he was cut off, so it kept him empowered to just keep doing bad. But he didn't do bad just because he was evil. It was almost in despair. It was like, what's the use now? Might as well just, hey, eat, drink, tomorrow I die. And he came to found that that's not true. And I'm telling you, it's not true for you. So come to this leadership and get saved and get baptized, okay? And to the rest of you, I'm saying we can be an amazing family. This is the beginning, not the end of the week. This is the beginning of the rest to come. Amen? So here's what I'm calling you to and finalizing this weekend on. We can walk in love. We can have unity of the Spirit. We can have peace in our homes. And we can be a major impact to this city. I'm not talking about evangelizing with tracts and all that stuff like we do. I'm talking about your life speaking so loud that people can't deny we have had change by the Spirit of God. Are you following me? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray that over you and pray that everything spoken this weekend just manifests in power. And then we're going to do one more quick thing. It'll take 5 minutes and I'm not going to drag it out. I'm going to turn it over to you guys. And it's going to, powerful things are going to happen when we do it because we preach the gospel. She's not on her oxygen anymore. The other night, somebody was born with something that changed. Somebody had an accident for a year and a half and something changed. Somebody couldn't do nothing with their shoulder for 2 years and it changed. There was all kinds of things that happened when you prayed for one another. Yay. Okay? So I want to pray something. Can we stand to our feet real quick? And just in a form of surrender and honor and yieldedness. Do you believe He loves you? Why don't you lift your hands with me to heaven and thank God He loves you. Just say it out loud. Thank God. Thank Him. Just say, thank You, You love me. You know, get used to living that way. Thank You, You love me. Come on, get the veil off your face. You're a bride. Let Him kiss you. Get the veil off your face. Thank You that You love me. Thank You, You forgive me. Thank You that You see me clean. Talk to Him like